Welcome to Awakening Plus. It's September 13, 2023, our very first discussion group on internal family systems therapy. I didn't know how many folks would show up, but there's already 16 people here in the Zoom room, so clearly some interest. Thank you all very much for coming, whether you're live or on the recording. So as always with our conversational events, I'm going to do a quick call-in of the allies. In fact, give me just a few seconds to light the Mesa candle, and I'll do the short invocation of the allies.
And we'll go. Hang on a sec.
Allies, please come. Allies, please create a safe, sacred container for this work. Thank you. All righty. So this is a kind of a loose format. People are welcome to unmute at any time and ask a question about internal family systems therapy or share an experience about it. I guess it would be appropriate for me to just give a brief overview, just very briefly, like super thumbnail, in case anyone here is not familiar with IFS. As I'm sure you're all aware, inside Awakening Plus, we do have a course called Self-Guided IFS. And as I said in my little write-up for this event, a number of members have told me they had the most powerful healing of their lifetimes by doing that process. I am not a technically certified IFS practitioner. However, I did a deep course. If you go to the course in the membership, you'll see my little diploma for having done the course. The man who did it is a certified IFS facilitator. It's really hard to get into the official trainings. You have to enter a lottery and pay a lot of money. So I chose to do it this way. And what I do get is feedback from folks I do it with that it seems to be effective and they do have powerful experiences. So although I don't have the official certification, what I do seems to be helpful. So that's the foundation from which I speak. So IFS, again, is internal family systems therapy. This has been around for over 40 years. It's a form of psychotherapy. Having been a shamanic practitioner for many years, I believe IFS to be shamanic soul retrieval dressed up as psychology. I used to do shamanic soul retrievals in my shaman practice. And once I learned IFS, I stopped doing it the traditional shamanic way and I started using IFS instead because it just works better in my experience. IFS says we have one self in many parts. That's S with a capital self. I believe what they call the self to be the higher self we work with here at Awakening Plus, always calm and in a state of equanimity. We all humans have dozens of parts, little sub-personalities that are like little full-blown humans operating inside us. And many are healthy and functioning well, and they help us out. There are some that are wounded and traumatized and split off from the main personality. And the exiles, the wounded parts, and their protectors, every exile has at least one protector, can cause no end of problems when they get triggered up. What IFS is mostly used for by most people is to get to those wounded parts, unburden them, and reintegrate them into the system. Or what shaman would say, we take the instance of soul loss and we do a soul retrieval. There are no bad parts. To the degree that a part is causing you challenge, to that degree, will it benefit you and give you positive, helpful energy once it is unburdened and reintegrated? And that's a super brief overview, but probably enough to get the conversation started. So it is open. Anyone who would like to now, and again, I do ask that you speak. This is being recorded, so anything you say here will be available in the archive for other members to hear or see. So do be aware of that when you're sharing. And with all that preamble, I think we're good. So please unmute if you would like to share something or ask something or participate in whatever way.
Hi. Anna.
Hi.
So I just wanted to mention that I've recently done a course called PSI, Personal Self Integration.
Okay.
And it sounds very similar to this. I don't know much. I have not had a chance to do the course on the site yet. So I'm kind of here to learn about it mostly. But it sounds very similar to that. And I've had issues self-integrating, let's put it that way. And I'm hoping that this can help me get back to that and work past some of the problems with doing that myself.
Me too. I'll address 2 points. I read a book a while back that talked about all the different healing systems that did parts work. And it was several hundred pages. They only spent about half a page on internal family systems therapy. So there are tons of systems out there that do parts work. And I'm sure all are helpful to some degree. This is the only one I've trained in. My perception is that it is considered to be one of the most complete and thorough systems. Again, having been around for more than 40 years is helpful to have had all that time to develop and, nuance itself. But again, I can't speak to the effectiveness of that other system or others because I haven't done them. All I can say is my experience with IFS is super helpful, and probably the best way is to go in and do the course. I do have many people who do individual work with me. They book a shamanic healing session, and we just do IFS or whatever else is helpful. But the just a little more on the course inside Awakening Plus, there's little four little audios. There's two little intro audios. The third audio is me guiding the process step by step with thorough explanations of each step. And the format is you listen to me give the step, you pause the recording, take as much time as you need with that step. When that step has done its thing, you unpause me, I give you the next step. And there's a bunch of steps in and out. Once you get comfortable with that recording and you feel like I don't need him explaining stuff anymore, there's a fourth recording that's just the bare bones instructions of the process. And you use that once you kind of get the instructions pretty well internalized. So, yeah. So, probably a good idea here for you, Diana, is just to keep observing and listening today. And I'm sure you'll learn a lot about IFS from all the conversation that takes place.
Great, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. Okay, who would like to speak next? Just unmute yourself and go. Hey,
Okay, I'll talk. Sure.
Stephanie, welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Weren't you the one who suggested this event in the first place?
Yes, it was. So bird talk, right?
Thank you. I took your suggestion seriously, obviously. Oh, by the way, there's
No,
one
thank you.
caller and if the phone caller would like to participate, that's *6 to mute and unmute. Everyone else just hit your little mic icon. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Okay. Anyways, towards the end of last year, I joined this group in the springtime, probably about it was March or April. But at the end of last year, I kept noticing that I kept daydreaming about fairies or fantasizing about fairies. And I just had no idea what it came, where that came from. I was never really into fairies. In fact, I went back and looked at a text that I'd sent to a close friend, and I mentioned the fairies in January. So I know that's about the around the time that this started happening. In June, I was really kind of discouraged, and I remembered that you had the IFS program. It's like, okay, I'll try it. I'll give it a go and see if it helps. Well, as I was going through it, I realized this whole scenario about these fairies that I had been imagining was the IFS process. I had been doing it intuitively. Yeah, I was just like, you're kidding me, you're kidding me. I was blown away. And I've done it a couple of times. I've been through it. And since then, the fairies aren't so pronounced anymore. And so that one aspect of me must have been healed. So that was my experience, and I was really surprised.
Surprised that you were kind of doing the process spontaneously before you did the course?
Yes.
That doesn't surprise me that much. I in my reading about IFS, I have seen one story about a war veteran who was doing, I think it was MDMA psychotherapy, where he was under the influence, and he spontaneously, without knowing anything about it, self-facilitated himself in the in what was pretty much an IFS process. And the guy who invented it, Richard Schwartz, says that the way he developed it was actually doing therapy with people and observing how they worked with their inner parts spontaneously. And over a period of years, he developed IFS by watching what people actually did spontaneously in their own therapeutic process. And then he slowly formalized it into IFS by observing what people were spontaneously doing on their own. I believe I have that correct. So,
Yeah.
not a complete surprise that you would discover it yourself in that way too.
It may not surprise to you, but it sure certainly was for me. I thought
Sure.
it was really cool.
Yeah, that's so wonderful. I take it the fairies were being a little troublesome.
Well, no, the fairies just were representing different parts of myself.
Oh.
And or you know, there was like a head fairy that represented my problems. And then what are the protectors were the other fairies that were taking care of her. And we went through this whole scenario where the fairy had been kind of she had challenges, and it's because it's like her parents had been killed by leprechauns, and she stole some bread and tried to eat it because she was so hungry, and the leprechauns cursed her. And let's see, and so the protectors took care of her, and they were kind of challenged too. So some water went bad, started going bad, and the non-leprechauns, like the fairies and the trolls and the gnomes, you know, all those fae types, managed to heal their waters, and then the leprechauns needed their waters healed. And it was like, well, no, you can have your water healed once you heal the curse that you placed on that fairy. So they did that, and as the fairy, the curse was removed, the leprechaun's water healed. So water was the overwhelming element, and so it's like she became a wounded healer.
Fascinating. Wow, cool. And
Yeah.
let me comment on what Stephanie's relating. Her inner experience obviously was very fantastical. And the inner world in which you do IFS, I like to say it's like a fantasy movie. The parts can show up as absolutely anything. And they might shapeshift while they're doing it. And they might look like a human or some fantastical creature. They might just be energy. You might be able to kind of sense it, but not even see it. And so you just have to accept, okay, stuff may change around in here, and I don't need to expect it to look like any particular thing. I've had, you might start working with a 5-year-old child, and they may grow into a teen and an adult and change around. So it's all very malleable in there. And you just
Yeah.
kind of go with it. Whatever shows up,
Yeah.
yeah.
And the fairy thing was so pronounced, it was almost like a compulsion to think about it during this time. But like I said, since I've done it a couple of times with the fairies, it's really kind of it's receded, it's diminished. So part of it must have been healed.
Beautiful. Can I tell a fairy joke?
Yeah, sure.
You can track them by smell. Do you know why?
No.
Because of the pheromones.
Cool.
And you can also track them by sound. You know how?
Fairy tones? I don't know.
Because of the fairy moans.
Moms. Okay, that was close.
That pun works two ways. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Anything else you wanted to share, Stephanie?
No, it's just I can't believe how intuitive and spontaneous it is.
Good. I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah, and I'm being called to share this. For a long time, I did IFS by the book, but as some of the people on this call know that I facilitated one-on-one recently, just in individual work, IFS, I can't do anything straight. And then lately, my IFS work is getting kind of morphed in with invocations and other systems. So, what I'm discovering in my own client work now is IFS, instead of just being a rigid standalone thing, it sort of morphs in with other modalities, and it's sort of a mix and match thing. And there are many other practitioners I'm aware of who blend IFS with other modalities. So it's not only a beautiful thing on its own, but it plays well with other healing systems too. And there's probably no end to the different ways you could combine IFS with other healing modalities. So it's very cool. It's kind of like Buddhism. It kind of shapes itself to whatever it encounters. Okay, cool. Thank you for sharing that, Stephanie. I really appreciate your input. Okay, who's next? Unmute and speak. Nobody? Okay, whoever's been waiting for someone else to talk, go ahead and unmute now. It's your turn.
I guess I have a question if
Right
nobody
on.
else.
Yeah,
wants to say anything.
jump in, Autumn.
I'm sorry, I haven't taken like your course about it yet, and I know that you reference it like in your astrology updates, like now would be a good time for that and whatever, and I just haven't done it yet, but I guess I was wondering, like, is it something that you just do for like one person at a time, or can you do it like in a group setting like this?
I really can't imagine facilitating a bunch of people in IFS at once. It is so unique. And
Okay.
if I'm facilitating, it would feel really important that I work with that person because you don't know what unusual things are going to happen. I need to be holding space for that person because, like, I did a session earlier today with someone and, it took several unexpected turns and I needed my full presence and attention to help keep that person strong in their process.
Okay.
So in fact, I've seen recordings of Richard Schwartz being in a group, but he was facilitating one person while everyone else watched. So
All right.
there might be a way to do IFS for a bunch of people at once, but I wouldn't know how, and I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that because if a person started having a big challenge, if more than one person was having a challenge at a time, that would be really tricky, I think. So yeah, the great thing about the IFS course, of course, is that as many people as they want can all do that at the same time. It's just I'm not personally doing
Okay. Thank
it.
you.
Yeah, I believe me, I thought on, well, could I do a group IFS process? And I just can't imagine how I would do it. Yeah. And do it
Yeah,
safe.
that's totally fine. I just didn't know, like, because I haven't done it and I don't know how it happens and whatever.
It's a great question and one I've definitely given thought to. I appreciate you asking it. Thanks, Autumn. It looks like Jeannie is next. Hey.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I've been in a couple of group IFS parts, and it was with NLP. And the person wasn't with NLP, but he was a big practitioner. And there's something called the reframe, which is just it's an IFS. And he did an entire church at one time.
He what?
And he did an IFS process with like, I don't know, hundreds of people.
Really?
And so since I had already been familiar with it, and I was all excited, and it was very energy intense because of all the people doing it at the same time. And he's like you, an empath, he could sense, is it time to go to the next step? Is it time to go to the next step? And a whole lot of the people, I think they just sort of went into a slightly unconscious state. So they may not have realized all the parts that they were doing, but it he became famous for it, and it was pretty cool. But I think it's something else. It's not like doing a one-on-one IFS, and it is pretty cool, but I don't know what else to call it. I don't know that he had any other name for it except for the name they give it in NLP, which is
Oh,
reframe.
he was not technically doing internal family systems therapy.
Correct, but it's the steps are the same.
Really? Okay. And
And so,
nobody
yeah.
was having a challenging experience that needed support or anything?
It was amazing. Nobody did. That many people, and nobody cried, nobody made a peep. It was just a very strong energy healing, and he just talked through it, and he waited for the group to all coalesce and go be ready to go to the next one and the next one.
Fascinating. Well, you know what? I will do some serious meditating on that. Can I safely do a, because I'd love to do an IFS process for the group in a, if that was possible and safe, I would happily do it. So
Sure, I'll volunteer to be a guinea pig group
well,
if you want
I
to.
will I'll reconsider my stance on that because if it, I'll see what my guides say, not right now while we're on the call, but next time I sit at my mesa, I'll sit in there. Hey, could we do a group IFS? Would that be safe and helpful? And see, because that would be a way cool event if it would be safe and effective.
Right, and if you do want to do a tester, then we could record it, and then you could judge afterwards whether it was something you wanted to put in the archive or not.
Yeah,
Is
Diana
it
says you. Yeah, so we might just try a beta event, making clear. We don't know how this will work. It's a
Yeah, I know you have to sit at your mesa. I know you have to
yeah.
ask about it and everything. But
But
I just
no,
wanted
that's
to put
a
that out there. I don't know. It was an IFS process, but because it was a big group and because the energy was so different, because it's like because I'm such an empath, I felt like I ended up assisting other people so much that my particular goal or outcome wasn't addressed as much as I expected it to be because the energy hit was so strong.
Oh, and you
I
were.
was thinking, wow, this is really going to facilitate my goal. And I can't really say that it did, but you know what? When you're in that kind of energy, you do get tons of healing. You don't know always what it is. Anyway, I just thought I'd add that in there.
Thank you. That's opening my mind to a new possibility. Thanks very
The
much.
guy's name is Terry McBride,
Terry McBride. Okay.
and I haven't heard his name in over 10 years, so I don't think he's done anything lately, but he wrote a book and all this kind of other stuff.
Fascinating.
Okay, I just thought
Thank
I'd
you.
mention.
Yeah,
Okay.
that's an idea starter for sure. Thank you. I learned stuff too on these calls. Okay, who's next? It's Jesse. Hi.
Hey Benjamin, just a question. Wondering if you find if people or your clients typically do more than one IFS session for each wounded part, or do you find that it's pretty effective if they just do one and move on? I've done several, and sometimes I have a hard time understanding if it's complete or not, and whether I should go back.
Well, it's real easy to know if it's complete as if that part ever bothers you again.
Yeah, I guess, if there's some nagging voice in your head and memory comes up, then yeah, maybe time to readdress it. If not,
It wouldn't be doing that if it wasn't, if it was, in other words, if it was fully healed, it wouldn't bother you again.
yeah, okay,
You
that makes
know,
sense.
even if you remembered it, if it was healed, you might occasionally remember whatever that wounded part was about, but there'd be no distress. You feel, yeah, I used to have a problem with that, not anymore. But if there's still any sense of challenge, then there's still some healing to be done.
Good. Makes sense.
And in terms of is one session enough, that totally depends on the person. I have had people do big healings in one round and it was all done, as far as I knew.
Wow.
And other times it's obvious, well, we did what we could today, but there's more layers. We'll have to get those later. Yeah. So it's a totally individualized on that, whether a one round is going to be enough for a particular part to be fully integrated.
Cool. No, I like your logical answer of yeah. If it comes up again, then maybe time to look at it again. So good. Okay.
Thank you. And in fact, to just related, when we do the healing invocation and we pull up a specific trauma and we work it and we flush it through, and then I'll have the person, okay, remember the trauma again. Let's check the work, bring up a memory. And if the person says, well, it was a huge trigger when we did it a few minutes ago, but I'm doing it now and I can remember it, but I'm feeling no challenge at all. I say, okay, two possibilities. One is you have fully and finally cleared that trauma. It will never bother you again. Or there might be more of it down in the unconscious you can't even know about. And it might have waited till that first layer was cleared until it could come up. And there's simply no way to know that I'm aware of. And then the next layer comes up, you just do the same healing process on that and clear it too. It's like no big deal. I can handle it,
Yeah, that's good to know. It can go deep sometimes. Okay. All right. Well,
And
makes sense.
yeah. And I only mentioned that as an analogy. The same thing would apply to IFS. You've done an IFS round. We complete the process and you don't feel any triggering around that thing anymore, but who knows? You never know what's down in the unconscious. I've become much more humble. I used to say, I nailed that sucker once and for all, no question about it, right? But maybe
Maybe there's more.
I'm much more comfortable with uncertainty in my older, wiser years than I used to be.
Copy that.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
Great question, Jesse. Thank you. All right. Who's next? Jeannie, hey.
I just wanted to add on to what Jesse was saying and what you were saying,
Okay.
that I have a big trauma from 2 years old, and I will go back to that trauma because it created so many parts that I will do whole bunches of the parts and think, wow, I really took care of that trauma. And then, sure enough, some other challenge will come up, and I'll go back to the youngest age that I can remember, something related to it, and it'll be that trauma again. But it's another part. So it's like many, many parts of me ran off. And so to pull them back takes a while. It's kind of like the North American Indian thing where they, if somebody comes back for more and they've had post-traumatic stress syndrome, there's a story about a guy that was truly just going to commit suicide, and he was part of the tribe, the Indian tribe. And long story short, they put him in the river with a lassoed his waist, but it was a dangerous river. And if he let go of the rope, he would have died. And so when he was in the river and there, all the rest of the tribe that could hold on to the rope was holding it, it was still his choice. You have to choose to stay. You have to choose to have those parts back to you. So I don't, it worked. He was no longer suicidal. Did he have more parts that needed help? I have no idea. But it's just like one trauma can be creating several parts that split off, and IFS just calls those parts back, honors what they've been through, and welcomes them back.
Beautiful. Yeah, when I have a big trigger come up, all I can do is trauma best. All right, who's next? Nobody?
All
Laura.
right,
Hi, Laura.
I will speak up. Hello. I guess bouncing off of that. I've been like working with parts work sort of for about 6 years, using the traditional psychotherapy, and I did some body work that helped because I remember a psychologist said, "You got to learn to teach them safety." I'm like, "Great. How do I do that?" And 5 years, I had no idea how to do that. I had to basically figure it out on my own. And then this summer, I started working with an energy healer, and things got really not good. So my higher self though was with me through the whole thing, and at one point, like, "Go to Benjamin." And so I can say that the difference between working with Benjamin with IFS versus what I've done with other therapists is bringing the higher self in is a game changer that isn't used in any other method that I know of, and or that I've had experience with. And yeah, it's been really powerful for me. So yeah, if you're thinking about it, I highly recommend it.
Thank you, Laura. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's one area where I consciously diverge from the way IFS is traditionally done. I before we launch into the IFS process, I do the embodied awakening invocation and make sure the person is as strongly in that as possible. And if a person is having difficulty, the only way you can really have, you can. The only way you could lose it in an IFS round is if you've lost your awakened self. And if I sense a client, a person I'm facilitating is getting overtaken by a wounded part, then I will say, okay, let's do the embodied awakening invocation again. Let's get your capital S self back. And that's my go-to. If I see the person is getting drowned in the trauma, then we get right back into awakened self and it always goes much better. So for me, capital S self-awareness is critical to successful IFS work. And even if it's not absolutely necessary, it makes it go so much faster and easier. So I'm adamant about let's keep you as awake as possible while we go through this. Same thing I've learned in my ayahuasca years. If I'm awakened, if I'm conscious as capital S self, then the ceremonial challenges always go a lot quicker and easier than if I just get lost and, drowned in this personality stuff. Thank you, Laura. All right. Anybody else? Roberta, hi.
Hello. I'm also here to learn from others' experience, and either no one else has had one or they're hesitating to come forward. Can I suggest that you tell us some without saying whose it was that you're aware of? That it's your observation of how someone else managed through the process, since no one else, a couple have, Jeannie has, and so is Laura, and that's great. Uh-huh. But if you did an anonymous of what you observed as how they processed it, possibly those of us like Diana and I and Autumn who were looking to have it explained,
okay,
can learn from that perspective.
Actually, the most helpful would be to say how I work with myself, because I do my own IFS self-facilitation as well.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah,
thank you.
Because I don't have to use the recording, because I made the recording and I know the steps.
That would be terrific. I'm just saying, so if other people have something to offer, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
But since no one's come forward, I thought maybe you could step in.
Totally. Great suggestion, Roberta. So let me get granular and tell you what the usual steps are. There can be variations of this. And if a person is spontaneously doing something different, but it's obviously supporting the healing, I will let that tangent run if it's helpful. But here's how it's, here's the textbook, okay? So I add in embodied awakening invocation first, make sure you're an awakened self. Then you step into the inner world consciously, and you call forth the part you want to work with. And you don't have to know anything more than this is the issue that's bothering me. You say, I now call forth the part that is causing me to have anxiety, or that is causing this, incessant itching, or whatever the problem is. I call forth the part that is bringing this up, okay? And then you relax, and usually within seconds, that part is seen or felt, and then you observe what you can about the part. Again, there might be visual recognition. There might be a feeling sense of it. Either or both will work. However you perceive it is fine. Now, normally the first part to show up is a protector, and let me just go slightly into detail on exiles and protectors. I said this earlier, the exile is the wounded part. Normally, this is a part that is in a dark room, kind of huddled up in the corner, scared, isolated, lonely, off on its own. So that's the typical posture of an exile. Now, there are variations, but that's what I usually see. The protectors, every part has at least one protector. The protectors stand between the main personality parts and the little exiled part. Protectors work both ways. They both protect the part from further damage, and they can also protect the rest of the system from the part sometimes that's in pain. However, the protocol of IFS, which I always follow, you never work with an exile until you have the permission of the protector. Protectors have two basic flavors. There are managers, and a manager is kind of a calm, solid, substantial presence, mature, responsible, kind of like Saturn in astrology. But there's also firefighters, and firefighter protectors can cause a person to take extreme action that is actually highly destructive. Including up to and including suicide or murder. Okay. So if you're with a firefighter, you have to handle those with care. So here I am in the world. A part has showed up. First, I determine, is this an exile or a protector? And based on the qualities I've just described of each, it's pretty, after a while you can tell if it's an exile or a protector. If it's an exile, you don't just go right to it. You say, I now call forth the protector of this wounded part. And then the protector shows up and you work with it. But normally protectors are the first to show up because they're screening you from the exile. Then nothing in IFS happens without the consent of the part. Nothing is ever forced. That's why, you know, it's a love and light method, because there's no coercion. Okay. Do you say to protector or something like, may I please have permission to heal the wounded part you're protecting? And the exile, I mean, the protector might just say, please. But sometimes, like a session I did earlier today, the protector says, hell no, you know, and, you know, it will not allow that. Then you have to kind of persuade the protector to cooperate. And the standard thing I do first thing is, well, what are you afraid would happen if that part got healed? And there's various answers that the protector will give. But the line of persuasion I usually find most helpful is I say, wow, are you kind of getting worn out having to protect this part? And almost always I say, oh, yeah. I said, would you really rather do something different? I say, oh, yeah, but I can't. I can't leave this part, right? So I said, well, you know, if we allowed that part to get healed and reintegrated, you would no longer have to protect it. It would be safe. And then you could rest or do something different. You'd have free will to do whatever you want. Would you like that? And almost always at that point, say, oh, that's a great idea. Let's do this. So that's the line of persuasion I normally use with protectors to get them to agree. Then you go past the protector to the wounded part. And once you're at the wounded part, let me see, someone just typed. Okay, nothing new. You get to the part and first you say you get it to notice you. Normally it will notice your presence there in the inner world. And the first thing I usually do is say, may I please have permission to help you heal? And usually they say yes. I rarely have an exile say, no, I don't want to get healed. And my normal first step is, would you like a hug? And normally these are very young parts, often, you know, at a very young age. And almost always, you know, they've been so lonely and you know, yes, please give me a hug, right? So you hug the part in the inner world. And as soon as you self, capitalized self, hug the part, then healing energy starts flowing to it. And my protocol is to hold that hug as long as healing energy is flowing from self to the part. And then once that process is done, usually the part's already feeling a lot better. The next stage is you say to the part, would you please tell me the story of how you got hurt? Tell me what you'd like me to know. And then you as self just listen to the part sharing its trauma verbally. Normally it's a verbal sharing. There's also energy coming over. And sometimes the part's pre-verbal and it can't even speak, but you can feel the pain. So you as self, your job is to just feel or hear the story. And if it's too intense for you as self to receive it, you can actually ask the part, okay, I'm getting overwhelmed and I can't help you that way. Could you tone down the intensity of your emotion a little bit so I can do this? And wounded parts do have the ability to do that. So they can dial down the intensity and make it manageable for you. So you let it speak or share energy as long as it needs to. And then that round, that bit will be done. Now the part's feeling even better because just the act of sharing its trauma to you has unburdened it further. Then I say, okay, now the next step is optional. If you would like to reimagine any of the bad things that happened coming out better, this can be healing too. We're not denying anything that's happened, but the technical term for this process is memory reconsolidation. And it actually rewrites the memory a little bit. And you say, you can imagine that this thing, bad thing never happened at all, or you can see the bad thing happening, but it has a happy ending somehow. And you allow the part to redo as many events as it wants to, and the part just runs. In this step of the process, you say to the part, do you want me to just watch while you rewrite the memories, or do you want me to get in there and help you as self? And you either just watch or help, whichever the part wants you to do. And the part does that process. Then the final stage of healing is, you know, it's okay, now we're going to the final stage. This is where you get to release all the rest of your trauma. And you can do this any way you like, but here are some methods that tend to work well. You can take the trauma and you can burn it in fire. You can bury it in the earth. You can have the wind blow it away. You can have water wash it away. You can have spirit lift it up to heaven. You can have spirit come right into you where the trauma is and just change it to love and light right where it is. How would you like to do it? And the part will name a method, or some parts choose a combination of methods. Some of them start with one and shift to another. You just let them do their thing. And once again, you say, okay, do you want me to just be your sacred witness while you do this? Or do you want me to get in there and help you? You do whichever they say. And you wait till the part has processed all this stuff. Once that round is complete, I say to the part, okay, have you completely released all your trauma? And if they say yes, we're good. And if they say, well, there's actually a little bit left, I say, would you like to clear the rest of that? And if they say yes, we do another quick little round of whatever method they want to get the rest out. Usually they can clear it all from their own perception. And at this point, that part that might have started as a terrified, trembling little, you know, thing in the corner, they're now bright and shining and jumping around and doing cartwheels. And, you know, they're super happy by now. And then you say, okay, now you've done a beautiful job healing yourself. Now you can call in whatever you want. Sky's the limit. What do you want? What new talents, gifts, abilities, energies? It's all available. And the part names whatever it wants. And once again, you say, do you want me to just watch, or do you want me to help you do this? And then you just imagine that from on high, just coming down in an energy stream, everything they're asked for is going right into them. And whatever that you let them go as long as they want, if time allows, just calling in everything they want. And they get filled up with all this amazing new energy and ability. And then once they've called in everything they want, you say, okay, now would you like to rejoin your inner family? And they always say yes. And you take them by the hand. And I like to imagine walking through a door into a huge room, and all the healthy parts are there. And it's like, welcome home. And the part is warmly embraced or high-fived or whatever. And they come back into the family. And always the reclaimed part is super happy and so glad to be home out of their exile. And then I check in with the part. So I have self say to them, and by the, what I'm doing, if I'm narrating someone else, is I'll actually tell them exactly what to say. And they simply repeat my words to the part. So I have them say it. In rare occasions, a person isn't able to perceive the part internally, and I have to do it for them. In fact, I'm so empathically sensitive, I occasionally have a client who cannot perceive their own inner world. And I've actually done sessions where I kind of felt what was going on their behalf and reported to them what was happening. And I've actually had people have effective healings where I was just sort of telling them what was going on, even though they couldn't perceive it themselves. That's very rare, but it has happened a time or two. So let me get back to the normal thing. We're back in the family, and I have the person say, okay, I self am always here for you. You ever need or want anything, just let me know. And then you ask the part, are you okay if I now turn my attention elsewhere? And they always say yes, because they're so happy to be home. Now we're not done. We go back to the protector that gave permission. And what I always have them say to the protector is, how do you feel about what just happened? And most of the time they're shocked and amazed. Really, it got healed? You're kidding, right? But they say, I'm so happy. I'm very glad this happened. And then I say, okay, now you no longer have to protect that wounded part. They're good. They're reclaimed. They're happy now. So you now can do whatever you want. What would you most love to do now here in the inner world? And you let them choose. And some say, I just need to rest a while. I say, fine, take all the time you need off. And if you want to take on a new role later, just let me know. Some choose a new service role right away. And they say, this is what I want to do now. And you know, you say, fine, that's great. I've never had a protector make a request that was inappropriate. So you say, fine, do that. And remember, and then you say, is there anything you need from me, self? Anything I can do to help you? And if they need a little something and you can give it to them, you might do a little process with them. That's rare. Usually they're just good and ready to take on the next role. And you say to them also, okay, I self am always here for you. Let me know if you need or want anything. You know, I'm so glad you're here. And often during the process, I will have the person thank the protector, usually on the front end. I say, thank you. Even if they've been misbehaving and causing problems, we say, thank you so much for your good intentions. I know you have been doing your best to be a protector. I'm so grateful that you've been so diligent and good at your job, even if they've been problematical, because their intentions were good. All parts are trying to be helpful, but remember that all parts were often split off at a very early age when you only had so much cognitive capacity and only so much even concept of what you could do. And the strategy that was the best thing to do at the age of 4 And the only thing they had available is not necessarily the best strategy when you're 44, you know, but the part doesn't get that because it's kind of locked in at the age it was created. So, you know, this process kind of takes care of that. And then you thank the part, and you then, once the protector has been thanked and reassigned or whatever it's chosen to do, then you're done. And you step back into 3D, and that's when I check in with the person. You know, we're just back in regular 3D reality now and checking in. Most people very easily move into this inner world and can perceive it. You know, I'd say once in a great while, someone can't perceive it, but I'd say 98% of the time, even if they've never done this kind of inner journey work, they can tell what's going on, and they're reporting to me what's happening. Because I've done so much ayahuasca in San Pedro, and I've done so much inner work, I have a high sensitivity. I can also tell what's going on in there to a significant degree. Sometimes I just tell what they're narrating. Sometimes I can tell more than they're telling me as to what's happening there in the inner world. But that's kind of how it works. So that's a super detailed narration of what an eye. Now there's more beyond, there's little things that have happened that are beyond what I just described, but that's the basic idea. As I've said, the way it's turned in recent weeks as I continue to facilitate people one-on-one is, you know, we might shift and do some invocation work. I've actually had parts do invocations, you know. So for me, the invocation stuff is kind of getting woven into the IFS a little more. Sometimes a person will spontaneously start doing something different. They'll start self-facilitating spontaneously. And again, as long as what's happening is clearly helpful and is promoting the healing, I will let that person run whatever tangent that is happening, as long as it clearly is supportive of the healing process. There's one nuance I will add that often comes up, which is the self, the person operating as self, needs to be clear enough that they are, in other words, the ideal, I'll sometimes, if I sense anything might be off, I'll say, okay, you self, capital S self, as you view the wounded part or the protector, what is your emotion toward that part? And if they say, oh, I'm just feeling love and compassion and gratitude, and, you know, they're in kind of in a high vibration place, they're all good, but they say, well, I'm scared, or I'm feeling anger toward this part. What happens then is that self has blended with yet another part that's having this challenging thought or emotion about what's happening. And in that case, I say, okay, we need to get you clear. Ask that part that is fearful or whatever to take a step back from you. You take a step back from it. Then, and when I guess, okay, is there a little distance between you and this part that was causing this response? Once there's a little distance, I have them say, okay, part, would you be willing to please step aside right now so I can do this healing more effectively? And almost every time the part that was causing the problem will voluntarily step aside. You kind of move past it and move. And then I say, how do you feel toward the part you're working with now, the main part? And if they say, oh, I'm feeling compassion and, you know, concern and that kind of energy, then they're good. But if they're having a strong negative emotion or thought toward the part, they've blended with yet another wounded part, and the part they're working with is going to feel that, and it's not going to work very well. So occasionally the person, you know, the self part of them has to get cleared and unblended with the challenging part so they can do the work more effectively. So boy, was that granular. Okay. So that's a pretty thorough description of my conception of IFS. So I'm now open. So let me check with Roberta. Roberta, was that a, did that help your answer your question?
Yes, it does. Is all of that going to be available when I'm doing it with myself?
On the course?
Right, during the course.
The vast majority of that is in the course. Now, not every little nuance I just said is right in there, but all of the essential steps are there.
It's going to pop up so that I know to ask back and forth and to...
Yeah, so again, the way the actual course works is, you know, I give you the first step verbally, then I say, pause the recording. You do that little bit. Once that little bit is done, you turn me back on and I give you the next step, and you pause me and you do that step, and you do that all the way through. I'm giving you every single instruction you need every step of the way.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So it's not that I can skip through it and miss some of the good parts or slop over what I don't.
Not unless you, Not unless you play an instruction and don't do it. I wouldn't
Okay.
recommend that. Do every single step. Yeah.
Okay. No, I thoroughly enjoyed your going through it. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. I'm so glad you asked the question. Thanks, Roberta.
Yep.
How long does this process usually take? Because it sounds really complicated.
It depends. When I self-guide my IFS, I can sometimes do a round in as little as 10 or 15 minutes. A typical duration is more like 30 or 45 minutes for an IFS round. I've had some that ran an hour. Occasionally, one goes a bit longer. Just depends what all's going on. But I would say average duration of all the sessions I've done is around 30 or 45 minutes for a full healing round. But, you know, if once you get good at it and you kind of get the hang of it, then you can kind of knock them out a lot quicker once you are getting greater mastery and familiarity with the process. Usually, I'm not saying that there won't occasionally be one that takes a while, but my self processes are usually pretty quick now compared to what they used to be.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Adam. Great question. Yeah, and again, the nature of the course, the way I set it up, is it has no fixed duration because you're choosing how long each step takes. So there's no, every one you do might be a different duration because you control how fast the pacing goes. Jesse, hey.
Hello there again. Another question popped up. I can't remember if this has already been answered or not, but how important is it to identify like the original event, memory, et cetera, of what it is you want healed versus, you know, I got this reoccurring kind of bad pattern happening in my life. I know it's a signal of something that needs to be healed, but I don't know what. You know, is that something you can bring to the table in an IFS session?
You can. And really, all you have to know is something is troubling me.
Oh, okay.
So basically, again, you start the session by, you know, getting into the awakened self the best. And then you say, and I'll call forth the part that is causing this challenging experience for me. And all you have to know is the symptom, basically, of what's going on. I'm feeling anxiety, or I'm feeling fear, or whatever this physical discomfort is happening. You know, it's all parts, right? Yeah. And that's all you have to know is just the phenomenon that's occurring that's troublesome. And then once you get to the part where the part's telling you the story of how it got wounded, then the details might come out there.
Okay. Awesome.
So you do not have to have the slightest clue as to what actually happened. You just have to know the symptom, and the symptom is what's causing you to do it in the first place, right?
Right.
So all you have to know is, like, it's just like an invocation. All you have to know is something doesn't feel good. That's all you need to start. And just
that's a big help, because I found my problem was I was getting a little overwhelmed with trying to pinpoint, you know, what, you know, childhood, oh, this happened, that happened, yeah, and whatever, you know.
And so, you need not have the first clue about that to do an IFS round. Not needed.
Great. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah. And again, I've had some people where the part, we got to the storytelling part, it didn't speak at all. It just transmitted emotion.
Okay.
So I've had people do profound healings and they never even knew what the traumatic moment was.
Amazing.
Yeah. And remember, there's also CPTSD, where there's not just one incident, but there's a repeated pattern of traumatic stuff happening, even if it's subtle. So there may not be one catalyzing incident at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't worry about that. Just dive in and see what happens if you want to do the process.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah. Laura.
Yeah, I can speak to that a little more, too, because some of my parts, I've known, and some of them told me their story early on in my healing. And so in like the four sessions I've done, the first one, I knew who it was, but some details came up that I wasn't aware of. And then there have been many where I had no idea who the part was. I was like, wait a minute, how do I not know this? But I didn't. And it didn't affect the process at all. You're told what, if you need to know something, your higher self will find a way to tell you. But if you don't need to know it, you can just do the healing energy. Sometimes it was just focusing on what I was feeling in the body, and that cleared it. I didn't need the story. And then if I did need the story, it was told to me. So yeah, I've done it always and they all work. So
thank you, Laura.
That's great. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's see, Diana a little bit ago asked, are all the suggestions you've listed included in the online course? Again, I'm not saying everything I'm covering here today is detailed in the course itself, but there's enough there to do the process. Yeah. Anyone else got something?
I have a question that's maybe kind of weird.
I like weird. Go ahead.
Cool. I'm just a curious person, but if you or anybody who has like experience with the process wants to share, like what's like the most resistance you've gotten before for a part? Because you said that sometimes it's like they don't want to, you know, give up or whatever. So like how bad can it be, I guess?
Laura, did you raise your hand to share something?
Yeah. Oh boy. Okay. Like the first time we did a session, he asked, you know, hey, as you say to your part, will you tell me what happened that hurt you? I couldn't get the words out. I couldn't say them. We tried like three times and I couldn't say it. And he's like, okay, stop. So we did a healing invocation and, it was a bunch of them. And then finally, like the fear came out. And what I learned was that I was told, well, actually, I was sex trafficked. So my abusers had killed a child in front of me to keep me, to get me to not say anything ever. And once we got that uncovered, then I could say the words and then we could finish the process. And it took a while with that first one because it was some pretty intense stuff. And then other times, gosh, today, the protector that was, he'd been bugging me for like the past week because I'd done this like three times and I was feeling better and things were great. And then this one's like, this is all nonsense. No, I'm like, okay, where is this coming from? And he was representing something that it was more personal. It was more of a family member kind of thing. And this person in real life was a bully to me my whole childhood. So we had to work a little extra with that one. So as far as what was the intensity, it was just, yeah, there was a lot of fear because we were getting to some deep stuff. But that's the cool part about, it's the higher self part that's so important because I've been blended my whole life. I like half the time I don't know that I'm blended, except sometimes the 5-year-old or the 3-year-old will, it'll be very clear that it's somebody a little and they're scared. And that's the only time that I know. But I know that like, ever since I've been made aware of this for like the last 6 years, I rarely have felt like an adult. I've always been 16 or younger. And since we've worked with my higher self, actually having that experience of that higher self who very much feels like an adult. It's like the system's like, oh my gosh, finally the parent's home. And I've been trying to get that so often, but the more we've been doing this with the higher self, the more I've had that experience of what that actually feels like. And so now I feel more like an adult than I have like in years. So I hope that's helpful.
Yeah. Can I make a couple of comments, Laura, around that? First, thank you for sharing so openly with us. That's very brave of what you're doing here, especially because one of the things I know you were told is don't tell anybody about this or terrible things will happen, right? So just you speaking about it right now is a very courageous and healing act for you, obviously. Thank you for your courage. She said she was blended with parts. That is in IFS, blending means that a wounded part has taken over the entire personality for a while. And then you've lost control. The wounded part has taken over, like almost you're effectively possessed by your own wounded part. And for a while, you will behave in whatever way that usually it's a protector that does that. And that's when you can really get out of control, because if a firefighter protector takes you over, and makes you do crazy destructive things, then as long as you're blended, you really can't stop it. And that's why I put such a premium on maintain awakened awareness, be in embodied awakening this entire process, get back there if you slip, because if you're in embodied awakening, no part can take you over. No part can blend with you. Your higher self is running the show the whole time, and it will go more smoothly and more helpfully, and crazy shit won't happen when that's true. And as I mentioned earlier, often when you have been abused in some way, the abuser, you know, says, if you ever tell anyone, then I'll kill you, or something terrible will happen to someone you love, or they put these threats in there, and they're especially to a child, these threats just go deep to the core. And so when a person can get to where they're willing to tell even the facilitator what's happening, that's often a massive psychological step to even be able to put voice to that. So, you know, one thing I appreciate about the IFS process is I can work with someone like Laura, who's been through incredible trauma. Oh my gosh. And we can heal huge pieces of trauma in a single session with IFS. So one thing, as you all probably know, if you've been in Awakening Plus any amount of time, I like stuff that works fast and that gets stuff healed once and for all. I don't want stuff that takes months or years or just kind of, you know, tippy toes into stuff. Let's get into it. Let's get it healed, and let's get it behind us is my preferred approach. It can be intense, but it's effective. So those are just the thoughts that came out to me, Laura, in response to your sharing. Thank you so much for your openness and your courage.
Yeah, thank you, Laura. I wasn't expecting that at all. And I'm so sorry that that happened, and hope that your life is a lot better now.
Oh, yeah, no, it's fine. I've been wanting to share for many, many years, but the wounding was keeping me from doing it. And so, I tried the IFS by myself once. Well, I've tried it like three times, and two of the three times I couldn't do it. Like something would happen that would just derail the whole thing. I'm like, ugh. Once I was able to do it by myself. And I'm very proud of that. But, yeah, like I said, I've been trying to heal for 6 years, and honestly, I'll say it. You know, the week actually that I was going to work with Benjamin, I actually canceled because I was suicidal. And I got that under control and finally did a session. And I mean, where I am now is a very, very different place. And like I said, I've been working with therapists and body workers for 6 years trying to get this under control. And in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, I'm in a way better place than I've been in 6 years. So, I would recommend try the recording. It's very clear, and he does a great job with it. But if you find yourself derailed, get a session with him. Cause even I would say, like, if I hadn't, I knew that I needed to work with him specifically because, and after the first one, I was like, oh yeah, I wouldn't let myself remember these things without a facilitator. And once I learned that I could trust Benjamin, that was huge. He really is skilled at this, as skilled as the few specialists I've been able to find for DID. And now it's like, okay, I think we've cleared enough of the really intense stuff that the littler stuff I can probably do on my own. But, and that's the thing, you may only need one session with him. Like he said, some people have been able to do it on the self-guided, which I think is amazing. but I do think once you do it once with Benjamin, you get a feel for it, and you experiencing it makes a huge difference, because then once you know how it feels and how the thing works, then you're a lot better equipped to do it on your own. So that's my take.
Yeah, I couldn't have said that better myself, Laura. You know, and just the general philosophy of where I'm coming from in my own evolution right now, I am transitioning to put as much of the help I can give into Awakening Plus and doing less one-on-one comparatively. I'm still happy to do one-on-one work with people. But the reason that IFS course is in there is because there are many things you can work on and do it yourself. In fact, I had one member report to me that they were able to do the most powerful healing of their life with IFS because there was no live human present. She could not speak what had happened to a human. And it was the fact that there was a effective system without a live human present facilitating that enabled her to have the healing. So you never know. So I would say, you know, my goal always is to, I want to give you the most cost effective way and the easiest way to get the healing done. And if you can do that within the Awakening Plus course, obviously that's costs you nothing more than the membership you already have and the time it took to do it. If you need me to facilitate you, then go out to astroshaman.com and book a shamanic healing session. The sessions are 2 hours long. If you want to take less time, you can, but I'm happy to give the full 2 hours and I'll hold space for you. So that's kind of my attitude. I'm willing to serve people one-on-one and I'm happy to do it. I love the work. And if the resources inside the membership can get it done for you, that's obviously a far less expensive way to do it. So just choose your modalities and what works and what you can afford. Thanks, Laura. Jeannie, hi.
Hi, I just wanted to make two comments. I worked on this kind of thing in many different modalities before I got to IFS. And so I had a lot of confidence and I was having a great time with it. And I actually got stuck, Benjamin, on one time. And what happened was when I got the exile, she was so screaming. You know, she's 4 years old and something happened to our puppy. And it was just, I could not calm down. I could not get unblended. Okay. Mm. So I just happened to be on a call where you could call in and ask a question to the facilitator. And she has a different method. So when I used words like protector and exile, she said, you really need to change those words. Those are not good words. Well, actually it's a 40-year-old process that it's okay. Those words are okay for me. For me. She goes, okay, let's just go through it. And so, you know, this is in a group and I wanted so not to take up so much time. I was like, why can't I not get unblended? And so what she figured out is to do, we often talk about the healing. If you make the infinity symbol, mm-hmm. the figure eight, it's a healing energy bringer. So if you have a blue and you go like that, you're bringing energy healing, even great trauma, you can help. You just have to slow down if the pain's really bad and you can only go as fast as that boo-boo will let you go. Okay. So she said, well, here, let's do this. Okay. She's screaming, right? And I said, yeah. And I can't separate. I'm just having the hardest time. I'm truly overwhelmed and it's upsetting to me because I've been doing this for years. I'm shocked. I've never had anything like this. So she said, well, do the figure eight on the floor where you put her, the screaming one, the little one, in one part, one circle, and you stay in this circle. Mm. And with her help, I was able to do that because every once in a while, there'd be a blending again.
Right.
So she'd have to have me put my healing, my little one, you know, separate. So anyway, it was helpful. So that's a little trick. If you ever become overwhelmed during anything, which I don't think very many people will, but if you do, you know, we have embodied awakening in this that's not in all the other systems, and you can always just do it. Just, you know, maximum embodied awakening. So as high as good, please. And do that and see if that helps you calm down enough to be you again, not blended with that part. And then the other thing is that in IFS, there is a protector and exile. And I've got to say, I know three other modalities and certified in one for sure and for years. And the only time these part works, things never worked for the person I was working with. Can't really call her a client because I never charged money or anything, but it didn't work. And I, listening to you tonight, Benjamin, I know why it didn't work. is because I didn't find the protector. The protector would not let her, not let the exile talk and explain.
Right.
And this person had a tell. She would do this with her fingers when she was lying.
Oh, wow.
Lying during this process. No, you're not telling me the truth. It was a dud. There was no outcome that, you know, she didn't feel better at the end or anything like that. So that was like a long, long time ago. And I just want to say that, you know, in IFS, the way Benjamin's got it set up, you have all these protecting things all the way through. Number one being you have your higher self, like somebody else mentioned, thank you. And you going over the protector exile thing helped me because I learned those other methods first. I don't always separate them. Sometimes I will completely do the exile and go, oh, you forgot to do that protector thing. And after it's all over and completely done, I go find the protector and check, and they're like, yeah, we're good. And went off, and I never addressed it at all during the IFS, but I, you know, at least I remember to check it. But I do think that's kind of important. And if you forget it, it's not the end of the world. You can go back and check it. If you get overwhelmed in the middle of an IFS, you can stop it and say, I'm going to come back to this after I do some meditations or go to the archive and do a healing thing or something. And then you can resume it. Because that one I told you I couldn't get unblended, and this little one just kept screaming. I think I did that 5 or 6 times on my own and just had to suspend it until I could get, you know, help. And that little trick of, you know, the infinity symbol, and you put the part there and you stay here.
I like that. That's a cool way to do that.
So anyway, thanks. Thank you for all the help tonight. And everybody's comments just really helped too. Thank you.
Yeah, this session has turned out really well. I'm super happy it's turning out as powerfully as it is. All right. So we've been going an hour and 15 minutes here. I didn't know we'd have this many great questions and experiences. So I would like to wrap this up fairly soon, but I want to leave, if anyone else has a really critical question or comment, let's make room for anyone else who has something that they feel is really important to speak right now. Oh, Roberta, hi.
For reasons of my own, I had a whole lot of anxiety going into this.
Uh-huh.
That I kind of like set aside in a box because I didn't really think it had anything to do with this. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I've just noticed in the last 10 minutes that that's kind of eased up. So I'm attributing it to the supportive energy tonight. And thank you, everybody.
Oh, good. Thanks, Roberta. Beautiful share. Anybody else have any closing thoughts or questions?
I just have one last question that's hopefully quick.
Okay.
I just wonder, like, after you've done this, is it like you're really emotionally drained and like need some downtime, or is it something that you feel like you can just do and then go on about your day? And I don't know if that varies from person to person.
Typically people feel really good after an IFS round. You know, you've reclaimed a part, you've actually regained a bunch of good energy because the parts were integrated. So most people feel really actually more energized after the session than before. Now there have been times when someone did a really massive trauma healing and they feel a little bit drained after, but I've never had anyone been like, you know, completely debilitated after a round or anything like that. So most of the time I say people end up more energized than when they started, typically. Marilyn. Okay. So Marilyn, I see that you've unmuted your mic. Did you want to say something?
Oh no, that was by accident.
Okay, no worries. Okay. All right. Anyone else have a question or comment as we move toward wrapping up?
I think Laura was raising her hand in response to my question.
Okay. So, Laura, if that's so, then you're welcome to speak.
Yeah. I just to speak to that, after the first session, I did need like a day or two to recover. I think it's because just I'd been through so much leading up to it, and the session was kind of intense. The one thing, the most potent thing I learned in that one was to recognize suffering versus pain, because I didn't know that what I was experiencing as pain was actually suffering and resistance. And once he taught me that that was resistance, then the pain was like, oh, that's nothing. Like, oh, you mean I've been dealing with resistance all this time? Great. So once we figured that out, that was cool. After that, though, like I did another session 5 days later. And then, and yeah, I was totally energized. So yeah, at first it might be kind of exhausting the first time, but the more you do it, the more, the easier it gets. So.
Yeah. And let me expand on the difference of pain and suffering. There's a famous Buddhist saying, pain is mandatory, suffering is optional. So if someone sticks you with a sharp object, there's going to be pain. You know, the pain is important because it's your body letting you know there's a problem you need to deal with. So pain is important and helpful. Okay. Suffering is your psychological mental saying it shouldn't be this way, you know, and you then go into storytelling about, you know, negative stories about how the world's out to get you, or it's not fair, or, you know, all the things we say when things happen that we didn't wish to happen. So most of the pain that, let me not use the word pain there. Most of the challenge that people feel has more to do with suffering, with psychological resistance and wishing things were not what they were, than it has to do with the actual physical discomfort of things. So that's my understanding. My favorite story to tell is years ago, I had a bicycle. I was riding my bike in a parking lot. I hit a pothole and flipped over and just slammed my arm on the concrete, and it hurt so badly that I literally screamed for 2 minutes because it hurt so bad. I didn't have a choice. My body had to scream out the pain, and it still hurt incredibly much, but I now had to walk my bike home a few blocks to get home. You know, I wasn't in any shape to ride it because my arm hurt so bad, but I was able to get into a psychological, I accept what's happened. I can think, I pretty sure nothing's broken. It's bruised. It may hurt for a while, but, you know, no serious damage has been done. I don't need to go to the hospital. And I walked home and actually walked with someone and had a perfectly pleasant conversation with that person with my arm in extreme pain, and actually enjoyed the conversation a great deal while I was walking home. And that was for me a very dramatic example of, yes, there can be even extreme pain. And I'm not only an absence of suffering, but if I'm putting my attention on something nice, I can actually be enjoying myself even while the pain's there. So just a little personal illustration of suffering distinguished from pain. Okay, so anything else before we wrap it up? Let's see, we've lost most of our live folks, but it's okay. If you're on the recording, you're still here. Or on the live call. Any last anything before we wrap it up, folks? Last call. Okay, I've loved this session. Wow, so cool. Thank you all for showing up. Deeply grateful to all of you who showed up live and contributed. Special thanks to Laura for her very transparent and courageous sharing. Super proud of you, Laura. Thank you. And thanks to all of you who participated in whatever way, and those of you on the recording who stayed with us and hopefully learned some of it. Again, if you haven't done the IFS course, maybe now you know more about it and you're willing to maybe give it a try. Or if you haven't done it in a while, maybe go again. You know, most challenges can be self-facilitated, is my experience. And again, you've got me or any other IFS facilitator you want to work with. There's tons of them out there who you, if you need a little more personal, you know, support while you do it. So hopefully this is helpful. And hopefully this will get that IFS course in the membership with a few more visitors. Thank you all so much. Super grateful for all of you. And we'll call it a call. Good night, everybody. And tomorrow night, the 14th of September, we'll do our community support call. Show up for that if you like. Thank you. Bye-bye.